Savior and friend.
WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
It is my thrill, and it's such a blessing for me to hear Pastor Darren preach, for me to take a week off and recharge my batteries a little bit, be back again next week, looking at what will be the signs of your coming. Halloween 2021, we've got communion next week, but that's next week. This week, I'm dying to hear what God's put on your heart. Pastor Darren.
I'll be in the book of Luke, chapter 16, if you want to open to there while I'm getting ready. We'll be going over verses 19 through 31, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Father, open up our eyes and ears to see and hear the truth of your word. Soften our hearts to receive it and help us to apply your word in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Parable of the rich man and Lazarus, or the parable of Lazarus and the rich man, which is ever easier for you to say. It's easier for me to say Lazarus and the rich man. I was listening to a sermon by John MacArthur a couple weeks ago, and it was a sermon on Lazarus and the rich man that he had entitled A Voice from Hell. And I thought it was a great sermon. But as I was listening to the sermon, I mean, that rat that was inside there, boy, the wheels were just cranking as I was meditating on the entire parable. And as I was meditating, I thought, man, there's just so many lessons in this one parable that most of us overlook. Now, I'm not implying that John MacArthur overlooked anything. John has a specific teaching in mind, and that's what he taught on the parable. What I'm going to attempt to do today is teach on what John MacArthur didn't, and just go through this verse by verse and see what we come up with. The first thing I noticed about this parable, the pastor and I were talking about it a couple weeks ago or a month ago, in all the parables in the Bible, there's only one case where someone is mentioned by name in this parable, in a parable. And I thought, that's odd. You read all the parables, and it's, a farmer went out, a planter, a sower, everybody's just, this is the only parable that I found in the entire Bible where someone is mentioned by name, at least one person of the parable, the other one is not mentioned by name. And John MacArthur kind of hit on that a little bit in his sermon, because he says, we go down in history, someone goes down in history with a name, and the other one doesn't. He's just known as the rich man. You know, the poor guy didn't even get a name. But I thought, I mean, nothing to teach on that, but I just thought it was really interesting that in all the parables, only one person is mentioned by name in the parables, and that's Lazarus. Moving on. What we normally take away from this parable is to be charitable to the poor and the needy and not to be lovers of money. But there's so much more in this parable And we'll go through it verse by verse. And I'm going to preach on what I noticed. Starting at 19, Luke 16, 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Stop right there. We got one line. Purple and fine linen. Purple and fine linen were the clothing of the rich of that day. Well, you say, well, why was that the clothing of the rich? Because it was expensive. Poor folks couldn't afford it. Rich folks wore it because they could afford it. And it would appear to me that the rich folks wanted you to know they could afford it by wearing it. If you saw a guy, it'd be like today maybe saying, well, you're seeing a guy in a Rolls Royce. You know he's got a little money. Back in those days, if you saw somebody in purple, you knew they had a little bit of money. But like I say, you don't got to flaunt it, you know. I'd have maybe been the guy that wore pink, you know. You know, just because you can afford a Mercedes. Now, if you want a Mercedes, fine, that's about more power to you. But I'll continue. Purple was used for an outer garment, and linen was used for an undergarment. It said he fared sumptuously every day. Boy, that's an interesting word, too. And in my interlinear Bible, it read, making merry in luxury day by day. Doesn't that sound nice? Sumptuously. Or making merry in luxury day by day. Man, just living the life this guy was. Day by day making merry in luxury. Man, things were really good for this guy. Verse 20. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate. I'm going to stop right there. The way they describe this guy is not doing too good. He's got sores on him. They said he was laid at his gate. That doesn't mean that he was just laying there. The way it reads in the interlinear is, or having been laid there. Which means that he was carried there by somebody. Couldn't get there on his own. It kind of reminded me of the fellas that lowered the buddy through the roof on the cot to Jesus. I get that image. But he couldn't get there. He couldn't get to what he may have considered a means of welfare. He couldn't even get there to get the welfare. He had to be carried there. And interesting enough, I thought it was interesting to note that when he gets to Abraham's bosom, he's got to be carried there too. Also, take a look. It says he was full of sores, and he was laid at the gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's tables. It says, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And I got to thinking, the dogs are showing this guy more mercy and more compassion than he does. Folks, if a dog shows more mercy and compassion on a human being than you do, something's wrong in this picture. I mean, the poor guy, at least the dogs would come near him and try to help him. Says he was so hungry it says that he desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. This guy's in such bad shape that he's going to eat what falls on the floor. And it's not like he's going to eat a piece of garlic bread that's down there. Something that you may be able to reach down and pick up and, you know, on a 30-second rule or a 5-second rule. It says he desired to eat the crumbs. Now, to eat crumbs, you're either going to have to sit down on the floor where the crumbs are and pick them up and eat them, or they're going to have to be swept up and given to you. You're pretty hungry if you're willing to take crumbs, dirt and all. There's no telling what's been on that floor. I'm trying to paint an illustration of the shape that this guy was in. He's in a near-death situation. He's starving. If you're willing to eat crumbs off of the floor, you're starving. And if you think that just a crumb might satisfy a little bit of your appetite, you're starving. I mean, he's in bad, bad shape. You know, it's not, he's not just a guy that's laying out front with a sign or something that says, "We'll work for food," or something. Right. This guy is in bad, bad shape. And is in desperate need of help. And one thing that I did notice too about him being laid there and him having to be carried there for this welfare. A lot of times, we may not be able to provide the resources for someone that needs them resources. But we may be able to carry them to someone who can provide those resources for them. You know, so it's a charitable deed. I may not be able to help you, but I can help you get to someone who can help you, instead of just throwing my hands up and saying, "What do you want me to do?" You know, there's other charitable deeds that you can do. Where am I at here? Lazarus' condition was life-threatening. Verse 22, so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. Lazarus is starving. He's full of sores. He's expecting to die. He knows he's dying. Death seems to catch one of them off guard. We got two of them are dying. One of them knows it. The other one doesn't. Because one of them is living in a near-death situation. And one of them is living in the lap of luxury. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and in Lazarus' bosom. Torment in Hades. Hades is the usual Greek name for the place of the dead. In the New Testament, it is not used with reference to righteous. Here it is clearly a place of torment. I got something I want to read too. Just give me a minute to where I can get to it. Listen to this. R.C. Sproul writes this. Says, we have often heard statements such as war is hell or I went through hell. These expressions are, of course, not taken literally. Rather, they reflect our tendency to use the word hell as a descriptive term for the most ghastly human experience possible. Yet no human experience in this world is actually comparable to hell. If we try to imagine the worst of all possible suffering in the here and now, we have not yet stretched our imaginations to reach the dreadful reality of hell. Hell is trivialized when it is used as a common curse word. To use the word lightly may be half-hearted, a half-hearted human attempt to take the concept lightly or to treat it in an amusing way. We tend to joke about things most frightening to us in a futile effort to declaw and defang them, reducing their threatening power. There is no biblical concept more grim or terror-invoking than the ideal of hell. It is so unpopular with us that few would give credence to it at all, except that it comes to us from the teaching of Christ himself. Almost all the biblical teaching about hell comes from the lips of Jesus. And this doctrine, perhaps more than any other, that strains even the Christian's loyalty to the teaching of Christ. Modern Christians have pushed the limits of minimizing hell in an effort to sidestep or soften Jesus' own teaching. The Bible describes hell as a place of outer darkness, a lake of fire, a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, a place of eternal separation from the blessing of God, a prison, a place of torment where the worm doesn't turn or die. Not a good place. And if you think about what's being described here as torment, think of how much more tormenting it will be to be in torment and see paradise. And I can't imagine that, because this is a place where there will be no hope of it ever ending. And this is a place where no one wants to be. You know, we can joke, we can try to make light of it. Even the most tormenting situation that we might experience or we might think of, we can still always count on just a little ounce of hope that someday this will end. Here, it will never end. It will be an eternity. And the torment will be the eternity. And the torment, to me, it's just being in a state of where you say, I literally can't take it anymore. I can't take one more second of this. But not only are you going to get a second more of it, you're going to get an eternity of it. So I don't want to take lightly and just gloss over where this man is and what's going on. Like I say, we live in a world, in a situation where we always have a little bit of hope, no matter how bad things are. You know, no matter how bad things are, we can always, 9 times out of 10, say to ourselves, well, this could be worse. He can't say that. He's experiencing it, the worst of the worst. Verse 24. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Here this man is in torment, and he's still so arrogant that he wants Abraham to send Lazarus to do his bidding. He still hasn't got this yet. You ever met somebody like that? They just think that, man, that your job in life is to wait on them hand and foot. That they're just so much above you, you know. send Lazarus. Here's what the guy is asking for. A drop of water. He says that he's going to dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. He didn't say, send Lazarus with a pitcher. He didn't say, send Lazarus with a case of Zephyr Hills. All he wants is a drop. One drop. But you know something? All that Lazarus wanted was a crumb. So, you don't think Lazarus was experiencing some torment? This man's torment, this heat is so much here that just one drop of water might be able to cool my tongue. One drop of water. But in Lazarus' thinking here on earth, just one crumb might be able to help this appetite. Maybe just one crumb might be able to keep me from starving to death today. It's amazing how quick these tables can turn. Interesting enough, note this too. Notice what the rich man calls Abraham. Then he cried, verse 24, then he cried and said, Father, Abraham. So notice what he calls Abraham, and notice where he is. Don't miss that. Look at what he's calling Abraham, and notice where he is. He's a Jew. He's a Jew by the title he gives Abraham. Romans 9, 6. For they are not all Israel who are of Israel, nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are called as the seed. I'm going to go to John, book of John, chapter 8, verse 37. You can go there if you like. Starting at 37. I'm going to go 37 through 44. It says, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I've seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil. Let me get back to my place here. Just give me just a minute. We'll continue. Listen to this concerning the seed, Galatians 3, chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you were baptized in Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew or Greek, neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then, key word, then, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. It doesn't get any clearer than that, does it?
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Brevard County's Praise and Worship Station. Your radios are tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM.
From Loveworth Finding Ministries, here's pastor, teacher, and author Dr. Adrian Rogers with a treasure from the Word.
Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2, the Bible says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." Now, Jesus is the S-O-N, the Son of God, but he is the S-U-N. He is the Son of Righteousness. Now, let me tell you something about the sunrise, dear friend. The sunrise never comes ahead of time. It never is late. Isn't that right? The sunrise operates according to the power of God and the authority of God, and you can't hurry it up, and you can't stop it. That's the way the second coming of Jesus is. That's a time known to God. You can't hurry it up, and you can't stop it. One day, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he shall come with trumpet sound, what he will do, he'll pull back the shade of the night and pin it with a star. And then he'll open the door of the glorious morning of his millennial reign and flood the world with light.
For more about Love Worth Finding and Adrian Rogers, visit our website at lwf.org.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above.